Hey, other side of the room, people.
Hey.
What's up, man? So, I'm going to start with a new poem that came out of an abysmal recent job interview that I had. I didn't get the job, but I want to thank them for that, because I wouldn't have gotten this poem out of it. So, this is called Closure. Past the road and nameless turnoff, across crushed salt paths to a town of closures and no right turns, dead-end arrows and orange signs, main roads gutted by the excavator, growling pickups with Yosemite Sam mud flaps, rebel flags, and the T worn off a bumper sticker so it reads, Rump, Make America Great Again. No one comes to Jeanette on purpose. Only here if you're lost in this yellowing of bars and laundromats, half-rate flower shops. I'm driving into a freezing sun to this state-of-the-art building to tell a stranger why I want to be here. Why I'm leaving my job and what's the worst quality about me. But my mind keeps drifting to the rumpled guy passed six times by the dollar store, to the rusted-out Honda in front of me and the duct tape muffler. Here in this place once king of glass, industrial plants flooding the world with plate, bottle, and milk, and the brick row lives of Italian immigrants who tended the world, the fires of foundries, displaced by progress, furnaces ghosted and overtaken by the tree branch and trash pile. Born again in the green of graffiti dragons, tattoo parlors, and the inner city Truth Center Christian Church. I'm here to tell Megan why I want to be a pipe fitter. But the answer falls down my throat like gravity, like the weight of this life of wrenching pipes one-handed in five-degree hells. The year winter broke me raw and screaming into the rattling truck ride home, away from given-up towns like these, where the buildings all look like gravestones. In the air, sick with its burning of fire and gunshot engines, but I'm safe here. And the carpet's beautiful in this temperature-controlled office of another future I'll never know. She ends asking how I'll be an asset, but the question opens me like the vat of bearings spilling out in the machine shop behind her. Shower of steel, of shrapnel, in this glimmer mill of metal, crucible of arc and shine, while outside winter is burning down the light and the hard walk across cinder lots to my car. The yawn of shadows next door, where the abandoned plants sit silent like the unwritten histories of emphysema and silicosis, that burning life I didn't want to know. I already know Megan won't be calling me back. Even if my key turns on the choir waiting in my radio, spilling out its one slow note like it's Christmas already, like a wave holding on for what seems like forever.
Thanks.
Thank you. So a friend of mine had asked me if I'd written any poems about the immigrant experience and really had to think about it, and I tend to write a lot of poems about personal experience, and this one really powerful memory came to me where I was working on this job in West Virginia, and I was seeing these Mexican workers, carpenters at this job. So this is about them. It's called Passage. And there's a kind of a work term in here that you may or may not know, called rough-in. And what a rough-in is like when a plumber or an electrician is building a house, a rough-in is the pipes, building the pipes in the wall for the fixture. So that term's used. Everything I didn't know about Monday mornings was in West Virginia, where 3 months of bitter cold 6 a.m.s is enough to say, fuck the rough-ins of big box stores. Hollering distance from Bald Knob, stretching into Eagle Sky Country, the split earth of valleys and cattle farms and gas stations that sell everything. I didn't know about the colors of hard hats. The yellow meant I was ready to spend my whole day waiting for the cat backhoe to tear me a new one and a hole big enough for a grease trap in the entrance into hell. I didn't know that saying yes to this life meant I'd be here blowing air into my hands, watching the 10 Mexican carpenters shoot nails into studs after crossing the border on the emergency brake to build a wall for the snack bar at Target. They lean shoulders into wood, speaking in the buzzsaw language of faster and do it now. My head inside their hive now, as I turn away from their pipes and keep watching. Song of their bodies, song of what all of us had to do just to survive another day in this needling air. I remember our foreman who called them rats, then drank coffee and watched all of us eating together from his heated job trailer. But by noon, it'll be warm enough to sit on the mountain of broken bricks and black backfill, the sun blazing behind our heads, blacking out the shade of us until we were nothing but gesture, an arm inside a cooler to pass off bottles of water, fingers touching for a second, our hands reaching out to each other, dripping water, our skin shining. So, as Joan said, I have this little thing. Nathan Kokalski from Sixth Gallery Press did an absolutely beautiful job with this book, and I'm so proud of it, and I love the cover, which I must give a shout-out to my friend Rebecca Clever, an amazing poet and photographer who took this picture. So, thanks to her. I'm going to read one more of these work poems from this book that I don't think I've read a lot. It's called Tits on a Boy. Because everyone here is older than you means it's your job to carry the concrete saw, the mini jackhammers down the ladder, the wrench of your back, the quiver of your knees. Because of thieves, you chain 40 hours of work to rusty I-beams, the wet saw that numbed your hands, the hammer drill that kicked you off of a 12-foot ladder, smack the work ethic out of your wrists. It's not safe to wear a watch, but you'll know it's over when they tell you it is. When someone pulls a static radio by its tail and Led Zeppelin stops playing. No one invites anyone to anything, but you'll know it's Friday from the plumes of exhaust, the rattling trucks you're meant to follow to a bar you've never heard of. Sit next to a man who called you useless as tits on a boy, laughing. Keep watching as their faces change with every shot they throw back, the next beer they buy you. They're smiling. They've waited their whole lives for this. So I'd like to read one Pittsburgh poem. It's called Railed, another new poem. Down where the steel reaches through turns, patches of grass poking through cracks, you could disappear behind hills and steal cans of Red Bull, go running the railroad home behind Giant Eagle next to shores of washing machines and beater cars, past the bluffs of mud, embankment of the Allegheny, and the waters of steel where I watch tides split the gray with its stinking darkness. But on Saturdays, we lift it off from that one tree that survived a tire swing on a rotten branch and took turns pushing each other over the garbage dump hills, mattresses and smashed TVs, to reach above the rising fumes, bare legs pumping and pumping to get higher than the drift, carrying open barges, the rust and trash thick waves from runoff and waste treatment plants, spilling out its seed into the deep, envious of its leaving our row house lives, our dying fathers and our struggling mothers who raised families, answered phones and scrubbed toilets, thinking as long as we lived would never be like them. Thank you. Thanks. So just two more poems. I recently totally wrecked my wrist, other than the hammer drill that wrecked my wrist. I wrecked my wrist again pulling carpet in my mother's house. I flipped her house to sell it. But she's happy. She's in a senior apartment and has all these friends, so she's thrilled. So anyway, this is called How to Sell Your Mother's House. It's another excruciating experience I got this cool poem out of, so Begin by tearing out the carpeting with her walker's drag marks, the rust spots from her hospital bed. Remember, everything here is fixable. Pet stains on the hardwood, windows thinner than air that leach in dirty sunlight, the ice of every Christmas without your father. There's still potential. Look behind the dying pines in the backyard, dead limbs only let in more sun. And pay no attention to the deer that roam aimlessly in dry grass, that unmowed yard, the stalks of tall weeds you'd never consider eating or sustenance. There's space over here for a stove and Sunday mornings with burnt toast and yellow washes of eggs over plates. Back when the windows still opened and let years of summers pour in like lost memory. Here's the garage with its grease traps from beater cars, the spot where your father's Cadillac sat gleaming like a cruise ship, seats like velvet mountains where you sat imagining highway was ocean. Here's the porch where you stared at the scar on his leg after the last heart attack, that 4th of July you watched the sky explode into sparks above the pines. Today you listed it online. 3 bedrooms, 1 bath. Good starter with potential. Some updates. You can make it what you want. Thank you. So I'd like to end with this kind of goofy poem. I read this article. I can't remember what it was, an interview with this poet, and they were asking, what else do you like to read other than poetry? And I think some of the answers were historical fiction, creative nonfiction. But I like to read like a lot of non-traditional things, and I like to read personal ads. So I said, wouldn't it be kind of cool to write a poem as a personal ad? So here we go. Personal. SWM, ISO, SWF, for GF, LTR, or BFF. Must be 21 again and standing in your mother's kitchen. Far enough from your grandmother's oxygen tank to swear it was ocean. Window must have a view of weeds and the neighbor's screeching cats. Picks are optional, though must be able to point out constellations lying in open fields in the dark. Bonus points if you've ever been torn apart by a Mahler symphony the day you held a mirror under your grandmother's breath for answers. If it's yes to sunsets that look like they're on fire, to the psychic who touched you with her electric hands, called you one of us. Yes to those broken lifeguard chairs on the beach reading The Shack at midnight under moonlight. If you were here, anywhere, when the sound of the tide was like 1,000 faucets bursting at your feet, that was me. I was out there calling and calling your name. Thanks.